People are different. Who knows that people are different? Yeah? People are different. You know? Some people are... So when we have a strap line, when we have anything, when we do anything at church, it's very difficult because you've got to communicate to all the different people. So for some people, when you have a strap line that says, we're on a journey with friends to freedom, the bit they hear is, we're on a journey. Oh, that's fantastic. They're like dogs, you know. Let's go for a walk. Walk! We're gone. For others, they're like, friends? That's amazing. We're going to be with friends. I don't know. What about the journey? I don't mind, as long as we're with friends. For others, they're like, where are we going? You know, yeah, but we're going on a journey. It's going to be fun. No, where are we going? Yeah, but we'll be with friends. It doesn't really matter where we're going. Yes, it does. Where are we going? And you've got to be aware of all of those things. So today I just want to talk about freedom, because we've got to understand what, if this journey is to freedom, what does freedom look like? So for some of us, we need to know, you know, what that destination is, because for some of us, we won't actually start setting out, or we won't have the courage and the endurance and the perseverance to carry on unless we've set our eyes on the prize and we know what we're talking about. So when we say freedom, what is it that we mean? We just, last week, well, it wasn't last week, it was the week before, but it felt like 2 weeks worth. We were doing a training course in the hub with lots of people, and the topic was Path to Freedom. And although the temptation is always to try and take the new stuff that you've learned and instantly communicate it, that's not really the point. But one of the things that came out of there which really impacted me is freedom is rest. So just say that to yourself. Freedom is rest. So if you want to know how free you are, how at rest are you? How at peace are you? How much is your value secure? The issue is that looking around the world, that is a real problem. We are dealing with the first cohort of teenagers who've grown up with social media, and the results are coming in. And the results are that the mental illness, particularly of females, has absolutely skyrocketed. And it's little wonder, because basically on social media, your value is judged on how good your Instagram picture is, what you say, what you've done, who you are. It's being destroyed moment by moment. You're being gossiped about. If you don't answer the phone, you're being bitched about. If you do answer it, you're saying the wrong thing. You don't know what to do. You live with it by the bed all the time. It's pinging away. You're not at rest. Now, it's got some great elements to it. Don't get me wrong. But the fruit of that activity is an increase in diagnosable, measurable mental illness. And Christ says in Galatians 5, he came to give us freedom. And if freedom is rest, then we should be those who are able to be and able to do. We should have a balance about us that enables us to live with freedom. Maturity in God is freedom. So the freer you are, the more mature you are. I don't mind whether you know the Bible back to front. You can quote chapter and verse at every single page. So can the devil. But what I measure maturity in God, and it doesn't matter how long you've been in church. I've gone to church all my life. Great. How free are you? And if freedom equals rest, how much of your life can you point to that says, and it is demonstrated to others, that you are at rest, that you are content, that you are able to abound in all and abase. You're able to deal with suffering. You'll be able to deal with prosperity. The definition of freedom in the dictionary says that not being imprisoned or enslaved. So most of us are not in prison. Check on the ankle of the person next to you and see they've got a tag on it. But most of us are not under Her Majesty's prison system at this point in time. So that's, we'll take that bit out of the equation. But are we enslaved? Are we enslaved? Galatians 5 verse 1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and don't let yourself be burdened again with a yoke of slavery." So not only is there freedom available for us because of what Jesus has done, but there is also the ability to lose that freedom if we don't stand firm and we don't understand what it is that we're trying to achieve. Now the goal of this journey is freedom. It's freedom from all sorts of things. Let's have a look at John 8 and chapter 36. This is another key passage. "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is one of the passages that is quite easily just plucked out of the middle of a passage of Scripture and quoted without any context. If you go back to verse 31, it gives you the process. To the Jews who believed in him, So this is not doubters. These are people who are following Jesus. He says to them, "If you hold to my teachings, you're really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." There is a process, there is a journey to go on to understand that there is freedom. It just doesn't say, if Jesus taps you on the head with a magic wand, you are going to be free, and that's the end of it. There is a process that says, if you hold to my teachings, if you start to understand, if you get the right information, then and you start to process that and put that into your in your life, then you'll start to become a disciple. You'll become a follower of Jesus. And you'll continue to put those teachings into practice in your life. And then you will get revelation of what the truth is in a situation. And that, when that truth is yours, you will be free and no one will be able to take that from you, and you will be set free indeed. And you will also be able to free other people. Because if this is just about you, then sure, God can just, you can get up in a line and be prayed for. And there are plenty of people who are doing that. And I don't necessarily have a problem with it, except that it smacks of selfishness. Because it says, "I'm going to get free." Brilliant. Well, how did that happen? Well, I don't know. I just went to the right meeting at the right time and God did a miracle. Okay, so how do I get that? I don't know. Figure it out yourself. Or come along to the meeting. Now, I believe that part of our journey is that God wants to give us a process so that as we are being freed and as we be a holding to his teaching and as we're becoming disciples and as we're being set free, we can turn around to someone else and say, "You know what? This works." And we can together as friends go on this journey and be set free. And then they turn around and they turn around and they turn around. That's what Jesus did. Jesus avoided the crowds because Jesus knew that if he got 12 people free, they would go on to free others and free others and free others, and we stand here as a result of that. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. It's interesting because the people argued him and said, we're not slaves. We're not enslaved at all. What are you talking about being free? We're our father Abraham. We're descendants of Abraham. Then Jesus says in verse 34, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." Then he goes on to say, "If the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed." And they argue about that. And he says, "We're Abraham's children." He says, "No, you're not. Your father is not, because if you did, you'd believe all that's happening." And it's easy sometimes to say, "Well, I'm free. Okay, well, let's see how we're doing. Do you have anything you are afraid of? Any fear in your life? Any anxiety? Any shame? Anything that you would not want us to put up on this screen about things that you do? Because if you do, you're not free. And I'm sitting here myself. I'm not saying I'm here free. I'm in a process of being made free. But the process is that we understand that our value is and our identity are set, and there's nothing that can tear that from us. And that brings freedom. There's nothing that I can do that makes me feel more important, and there's nothing that I do that makes me feel worthless. Because if you've got those things happening in your life, the enemy can torment you. That area of weakness, that area of sin, that area that you might fall down on, it acts like a handle on the outside of you. It's like you've got a big, nice, one of those big D-ring handles. We were moving furniture, Scotty and then later Craig, and we were carrying a chest of drawers, and I had the end with nothing on it, which is fine, and Craig had the end with a big, nice, big handle on it. And when you're moving furniture, that's a really reassuring thing to have. You know, it's easy to grip. Well, that area of weakness in your life, that area of fear or anxiety or shame or rejection is like a big handle for the enemy. And he just swings you round with it every single time. Maybe it's a fear or an anxiety that you're not going to have enough money. Yeah, circumstances are changing and jobs are changing, and where are we going to get this money from? Well, that is an area in which you don't trust God completely, because he said, don't be anxious for anything. He cares for you. Only think about today, because if he feeds the birds, he'll feed you. But how easy is it to do that? When... yes, but God, you don't understand. You know, I've got direct debits. You know, they didn't have them back in those days. I've got a mortgage. It just comes out. And the enemy grabs a hold of you and says, he's not going to do that. You need to do this yourself. You've got to figure this out yourself. That's why it was important what Andy bought. Because you've got a choice at that point. Do I go the path that God is for freedom? Or do I just wrestle and let the enemy slap me around with this? And it's a real issue, and it has to be worked out, and it's not just a kind of magic wand solution, that a prayer. It's a process in which we reprogram ourselves and we train ourselves to believe God and to believe his truths, rather than let the enemy have a field day. It's said of Jesus when he was being tormented by the devil going into the desert. It said the enemy waited for a more opportune time. So even for Jesus, there was a time where there was a greater opportunity. And you can see that later on in the garden when he says, God, take this from me. He's wrestling. He's needing to be supported by his disciples and even angels to bring rest. Maybe it's a thought, a nagging thought, or any negative emotional reaction. I know, and I'm not going to prove it, but I know, because I know us all, I can produce, and I probably already am producing, a negative emotional reaction in you. By even what I'm saying. By even what I'm wearing. By just me being me, you are having to process this as an input. And some of you are thinking, oh, I don't like what he's saying. That's a negative emotion. Well, who do you think he is? And the enemy is already taking what I'm saying and causing you to have to process it in a certain way. And that's, unfortunately, the world we live in. And it's so, so easy to steal someone's freedom from them. You know what it's like. You walk out the house, today's going to be the best day I've ever had in my life. You know, yeah, I'll put my smart shirt on and, you know. And then instantly, boom, someone cuts you up on the road, or someone says something, or someone just says something meaningless, but it creates in you a negative thing. You think, ugh. Why am I thinking that? Now, It is possible to live a life where that does not happen. And that's called freedom. And it's rest. So it's a place, if you can imagine it, where nothing anyone does to you has that effect. You don't have to control yourself, because freedom is not control. And freedom, although you could talk about it being about freedom from sin, sin is just the byproduct of the negative activity. It's basically you saying, I'm going to do something for myself, because most sin, pretty much all sin, is unhealthy behavior based about getting what you want above anyone else. And if you get free, and if you get healthy, and if you're at rest, you don't need any of that, because your emotions and your soul, your mind, your heart and your emotions and your will are in complete balance with God and with the and with the Trinity, and therefore the idea that you would need anything else is pointless. It's free to be in charge of ourselves. Because whilst you are being affected by me, you're not in charge of yourself. So if I said something to Nick now that was hurtful, and unfortunately the problem is, the more I know a person, the more opportunity I have to cut you right where it hurts. But he's no longer in control of himself, because I'm now pulling the strings. But when you're free and your identity and your value are completely set in who you are in Christ, you can handle every bit of negativity that comes, not get damaged and not damage other people. We are so quick to defend back, we just start the process again. And that's what the enemy will try and do. So Galatians says, stand firm. And see that it's not robbed away from you. He was talking in Galatians about, further on in that passage, about being circumcised. He says, if you've done that, you've completely lost the plot. You've completely wasted. You've missed the point completely. It goes on to say, mark my words, if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ has no value to you. Because that is to do with identity. They were basically saying, if we act in this certain way, and if we do this certain thing, we'll be more important and more valuable, and we'll be more accepted, and we'll have some identity. And he's saying, if you're doing that, if you're trying to do that, you've missed the point of the freedom of Christ. Free to live according to our original design. In heaven, we're going to be at rest, I hope. We're going to be free. You can discuss what heaven may or may not look like. And I think it's quite a good thing to do. For the surfers amongst us, we're already debating whether the oceans, the whole oceans thing is a little bit sketchy. Apparently there are rivers, so the fishermen are okay. But, you know... But one thing I do know is that we're going to be back to the essence of who God created to us. And all of the damage that has been infiltrated to us and done to us over our life in this abnormal world will be stripped away. And we'll be free to be at rest and to live how we were supposed to live. But that is available through Christ here. And we should be those who are striving towards it. Now, we don't get our identity, we don't get our value from being further along the freedom track. See, I'm more free than you are. No. Because that's not the point. The point is, I look around and I am just devastated by the amount of damage that is in every one of people's lives, not just you guys who are sitting in front of me, but you just see people, and when God opens your eyes, you just see people and you see the damage, and you see the continuing damage that damage causes. So they've been so badly rejected that they will not trust anyone ever again. And they come with already an expectation that you're going to reject them. And so every conversation starts with a defensive nature that says, it wouldn't even start because you're so afraid that you're going to be rejected. But if you did get into a conversation with someone, you're so defensive that they're going to say something that it happens. And they think, they don't like me either. Boom, another bit of negativity. And you think, you can just see God standing there and just going, stop it. You know, if you've got kids and they're of a certain age and they're tearing each other's hair out, at some point you just come in and you want to place both hands on the kids. I'm not looking at any parents in particular, but you know who you are. And you just want to go, stop. Yes, but you don't know what he did. And that's what this world is doing, except that we've kind of poshed it up a little bit. And so all of us here today, we look like we've got it all together. But we haven't. And so we are on a journey together with friends to become free. How do we do it? I was just going to leave it on what we were doing, but I can't bear not to give you a little bit of how. And for some of you, great. Talked about the problem. And let's get to the solution, for goodness sakes. We all know the problem. The issue is that it comes back to John, if you hold to my teachings. So you've got to have the right information to start you on this road. And we're not used to that. You're used to me entertaining you, or whoever else is up here entertaining you. And if you've heard it once, you go, I've heard that one. Or maybe I heard it done slightly better at New Wine. And then someone over there did that, and actually the God Channel, man, they just do that sermon so good. And you go, how free are you? Oh, well, I'm too busy watching all of that to get free. And the enemy is absolutely content with that. He loves that scenario. You come in here every week, having a bit of a sing-song, listening to me do a bit of this, and me being busying away doing all of this so that you won't reject me or sack me. It's a big game. Where's the fruit? What is the fruit of it? What is the evidence? The evidence that Jesus says that they will know that God sent him is when we can love one another. When we can love anyone who comes across our path with the same love as we have for those who we really do love. Interestingly, there was a brain surgeon who was doing operations that went for a very long time, 13, 14 hours. And someone said, how do you keep your concentration? And he says, I pretend this is someone who I really love. I imagine this is someone I really love. That changes it. That changes our behavior. When we don't think that anyone's worth it, the person who we're abusing, who are they? I don't give a stuff. When we know them, it happened to you. Someone's driving along and this is, we'll spread out a little bit so it doesn't happen so much. But sometimes, it's the person who's bolting across the roundabout, cutting you up, and then you suddenly realize they're from church. And the V's that you were going to give them turns into a cheery wave. that instantaneously says, you plonker, oh, I love you. See you Sunday. It changes us. John 14, verse 18 says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, you are in me, and I am in you. Verse 23 says, it is a little bit of a paraphrase of what he said in chapter 8. And this is Jesus on the night before he's going to die. These are the last instructions that he's giving to disciples. If anyone loves me, verse 23, he will obey my teachings. My Father will love him, and then we, another Trinity word, What does it say that verse 23? And we will come to him and make our home with him. You can't do this without God. So you're in a paradox. You're in one of these things. To get healthy, you need to make healthy choices. To make healthy choices, you need to be healthy. And the problem is that the medical professionals know what you need to do, but they don't know how to help you do it because they don't have the solution. So what they tend to do is medicate. And there are, I'm sure, those who are well-meaningly trying to help others, but that you're caught in this damage cycle. And the only way to get out of it is to replace the damaged part of you with something that isn't damaged, and that's Christ. Christ in me, the hope of glory. So freedom requires three things. It requires that intimate connection with God. You have got to have a connection with God. And that's great. But then you need to start on that process of learning what it means to hold to his teachings. So you need some information. And you need a friend who can help you with that. Because we're not supposed to do it alone. We're supposed to be doing it one with another. And when one of us is strong, falling down, someone else can pick us up and say, come on, we're going to get there. You know, Craig and I, it's great to have Craig in the postcode. The funny thing is that when Dad, don't tell anyone, okay, we'll cut this off the thing, so he's not listening to the podcast. Dad, if you're listening to the postcard, stop. He signed me over as power of attorney before he left. I can sign for anything. So me and Craig are going to sell the house. And then we're going to reroute the water pipe through the land and get the compensation. And we're just going to send out a bunch of pamphlets about care homes to Australia that they can consider while they're on their holidays. No. That's all just by the way, okay. Craig and I have been on many adventures together, and mostly they're Craig dragging me reluctantly down caves, up cliff faces, in canoes, anything you can think of that you would say, that's not a very sensible thing to do, that's what we've been doing. But I know when we've been together, when one of us is not feeling it, that the other one can go, we're going to get through this. One memorable moment, as we alluded to the other day with Tanya, where we were down a cave, and we were all feeling a little bit sleepy, cold, and why don't we just stay here and go to sleep? I think that's called hypothermia, or late stages of hypothermia, and it needed one of us to go, no, that's not a good idea. We need to get out of this cave, and we need to get home, and we need to get safe. And that's why we need friends. Hebrews, if you want to look a little bit more on what it means to have rest, then you go to Hebrews. But the passage in Colossians 1 and verse 27, it says, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. In other places it says, the secret, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So that is the process we're on. The journey we're on to freedom is understanding that there is a place that we can get free. In Jesus' name, it can be done. But it can't be done by self-control. It has to be done by him and by getting our true value and identity in him. And then through him and in him, we are able to start living a free life and move from one degree of glory to another, to another, to another. And as we have learned that process and held to his teachings and understand what it is and been set free, then we can turn around and we can grab a hold of someone else's friend and say, we can set you free in Jesus' name. And that is the gospel. And everything else is a waste of time, including some of this. Because this is making us so busy and so tired and so frustrated that we haven't got any time to do the very thing that we... So, you know, when we talk about a journey with friends to freedom, it is my absolute priority in every single life that we bring freedom and we don't replace it with something else. It's very easy to say, yeah, I'm free of that. I don't do that anymore. But I can't do this now. But God wants you to be free. Free to be who you are. For some of us, that is free to not do anything. To be able to just be an individual without doing. And some of you kind of like, I can't do that. Yeah, well, that's because you're not free quite yet. And for others, he wants you to be able to do stuff, but in a healthy way, not to get your value or your identity. You know, what do you do? Oh, you know? Oh. And that's very, very difficult. Even what we were saying today, I mean, you know, it's great that Emily and Campbell wrote that song. It's easy for me to say. But if they get their identity and their value from you saying that was a wonderful song, we've got problems. Because they need to be able to do that and be free to say, yeah, that's something I do. And God's given me that gift. But I'm also, you know. Anyway, that's where we're going. We're going to sing because we stole one of the songs off the guys. So we're gonna sing "Amazing Grace." My chains fell off. My heart is free. Let me pray for you first while these guys are getting sorted out. Father, I thank you that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. The whole gospel, the whole purpose of the incarnation of Christ was to say, I am making a way to create heaven on earth, to produce in you the health that you can't produce in yourself, to enable you to live in this damaged world, in this broken and fallen society. Through me, what seems impossible is possible. And Father, I thank you that Christ in us is the hope of glory. Living our life empowered through Christ, not just given information from him, but actually him living in us, so that it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And every weak part of me, every part that doesn't believe it, that doesn't trust, that doesn't feel it, Jesus does. And I can just say, God, you need to take this bit because I can't do it. Where we are weak, he is strong. And Father, I thank you that this has been made possible. And it is a secret, and it is a mystery, and it is something that the enemy so doesn't want us to do that he'll distract us in any way possible. But it can be done, and it will be done, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. In Jesus' name, amen.